It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on Newstalk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, Jim Stevens. Each week on this program, we bring you information about the world-class Sandler selling system, where we focus on behavior, attitude, and technique to improve the quality of life through better practices as managers, business owners, and business professionals. My guest today is my son and partner, Justin Stevens. Welcome, Justin.
Good afternoon.
So we're going to spend today talking about a shameless plug for an event we have coming up. So share with the group the time of the event.
So it's going to be Wednesday the 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's here at our office in Meridian and online. So if someone's, say, we're having three or four people from Spokane who will be joining us, if there's someone else, they're welcome to join online as well.
All right. And the event is called No Guts, No Gain. So the Sandler system, maybe to give a little bit of background, how we even got involved in Sandler, my wife Joan and I started a company here in Boise Valley called Stronghold Remodeling. We started it in 1978 and started out just doing handyman, cleaning, that kind of thing. Grew into a business. We had, at one point, we had 40 plus employees. We were doing $3 to $4 million in revenue a year. And Joan became the national president of NARI. NARI stands for the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. So she was very involved both locally and nationally. In that position, she experienced working with a lot of remodeling contractors who were very, very successful, far more successful than we are. They were making a lot of money. We were making a good living, but working way too hard at it. And in interviewing these guys and gals, the one thing we found that they all had in common was they all had Sandler training. And we thought, I don't know what that is, but we need it. And this was in 1999, so there was no such thing as remote training back then. My, how the world has changed. So we ended up buying a franchise just to learn the Sandler system. No Guts, No Gain is really taking the fundamental psychology behind how people interact and helping leverage it for your own success. So it really is the meat and potatoes of what makes Sandler successful. We talk about things like Karpman's drama triangle. In every drama, in fact, let's back up and say that drama exists to avoid accountability. So explain Karpman's drama triangle, Justin.
Sure. So in every drama, in every negative emotionally engaged interaction, there is three players that have to have their roles filled. Now, that doesn't mean there has to be three people. You can play all three roles yourself, but there's going to be, number one, there's always a victim. Someone who's, it's not my fault, they did it to me. It's all because of what they said, what he said. There's always a rescuer. That rescuer says, oh, it's not your fault. The rules, it takes too long. You fill in the excuse. And then there's always a persecutor. The persecutor is the one saying, come on, really? You did this wrong. It's all your fault. So that in every negative emotional engagement, that drama triangle is being played out. That drama game is being played out.
And an example of how this might play out in your own thinking is you look in a mirror in the morning and you say, wow, have I put on some weight? There's the persecutor. The rescuer says, ah, no, you don't look so bad for a 58-year-old. You're not looking too bad. And then the victim said, yeah, besides, it's not my fault. It's the 4th of July last weekend. So we had several parties we had to go to. So this drama triangle happens in our own minds often. And it also happens in the workplace and in life in general. And so at our event that's coming up, No Guts, No Gain, we talk about how to identify some of the games that people play. So manipulative games are played in order to gain an advantage over others. They're manipulative by nature because it's trying to get someone to do something against their will for your favor. Much of life involves being played, whether you like it or not, and whether you know it or not. We see this all the time in politics. I mean, politicians, it's just an unending drama cycle, right?
Exactly.
You've got the Democrats persecuting the Republicans, the Republicans persecuting the Democrats, and it's not their fault. And this whole drama just exists. And then the news media feeds off of this, and then we all feed off of the news. news media. So this whole dysfunctional discord occurs in life because we're not really managing the tone of what we say and the content of what we say. And we do this as a defensive mechanism, as a way to protect ourselves and to persecute other people. Eric Byrne was the founder of Transactional Analysis, and he talks about the OK Corral. So one part of being OK is if I feel like I'm OK and I feel like you're OK, we have a healthy relationship. If I feel like I'm better than you, that's an unhealthy relationship where I might be more arrogant. I might feel like I'm more entitled. If I feel like I'm not as good as you, I feel intimidated by or exercised over. And then there's the, if we both feel bad about ourselves, it's like the Eeyore complex. Or, how are you, Eeyore? It's going to rain later today. So your thoughts, Justin, on the OK Corral.
The OK Corral is, it is so important to keep in mind whenever you're communicating with anybody, be that prospect, be that friend, a significant other, or a family member. If you put, we call it putting someone on a pedestal. If you put someone on a pedestal, your happiness relies on them being happy, on them being content. On the flip side, if you're put on a pedestal, their happiness relies on you being happy. And it's not good for anybody. And obviously when it comes to I'm not okay, you're not okay, that's just a recipe for disaster.
But yet we all are so tend to fight for our position, and part of making myself feel good is somebody else feeling bad or looking at myself in comparison. Speaking of the news, I think the reason many people watch the news and find gratification is because if you're watching the news and somebody else's life is worse than yours, you feel better about your life. It makes me feel okay when I recognize that I'm not living in an area that's flooding or having a some national disaster. And my life, I feel better about my life when I see it in comparison with people who are worse off. And I think that's a human condition that, frankly, is just unhealthy. And we train this concept of learning to separate my identity, who I am on the inside, from my role, what I do. So conceptually, Justin, share with our listeners, why is it that I have as much value as the president of fill in the blank, Micron, any national or worldwide organization, based on my identity, we are equals.
We all are equals. You, anybody on the street, think about this. When you're born and you can't talk, you can't feed yourself, you can't do anything, what's your value?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is incredibly valuable, created in God's image. I'm a 10.
Exactly.
Even though I'm useless.
Yes, you're useless, but you're still a 10. As you, let's say you're growing up, you become a teenager, you're starting to get into trouble, you're disobedient. What's your value on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to you as a human being?
Yeah, that intrinsic self-value doesn't change.
It doesn't change. That's why we are all born at a 10, and that 10 never leaves us. What changes is how we see ourselves. Too often, people see the role side of them as who they are. So that role could be a golfer. It could be a salesperson. It could be a mother or a wife or a father. So that role becomes how you define yourself instead of understanding that that's just a role I play. If you look at any of the, take Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp, right? He plays a role. Now, he's really good at that role. That's why he's been in, what, 4 or 5 movies
right
for it. But that's not who he is as a person. We all play these roles throughout life, but that's not who we are as a person. And when you come to understand that and it's ingrained in you, you can understand that, listen, I can fail at my role as, say, a salesperson and still be a good person.
Yeah, as long as I don't condemn myself over it. And when you start to condemn yourself, that's when you judge you and your self-image collapses, your self-respect dies, and now you lose your confidence and you lose your edge. This is Jim Stevens. We're in the Sandler Training Hour. My guest today is Justin. Justin, give the contact information to our listeners in case they'd like to hear more about this upcoming event, No Guts, No Gain.
So you can call us at 208 208- 208-429-9275, 208-429-9275, or you can catch us online at www.crossroads.sandler.com.
Next up, we have Behind the Business, where we get to hear the story behind some local and regional businesses, find out some of the things that they have mastered in order to be successful, some of the challenges that they have overcome. You can reach us one more time at 208-429-9275 or email us to crossroads@sandler.com. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. Change is difficult and messy. As a result, most people push themselves to work harder because they don't realize there's an alternative. Sheer willpower and determination can only go so far in making a significant impact. Charisma or optimism alone is not enough to capture your ideal client at a price point that allows you to grow your business. Loyalty to employees and clients sustains a devoted following, but will not attract the talent or clients needed to help more people benefit from your services. Accurate systems and processes are vital. However, this alone is not going to achieve your desired results. Most business owners don't have the courage necessary to challenge their comfort zone. If you are the exception and are ready to roll up your sleeves, get messy and change, call me at Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or connect on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story of local and regional business owners and leaders. In this segment, we take a peek behind the successes and challenges that local businesses and leaders have successfully overcome. By hearing their story, we get to learn things and meet people. My guest today is Heath Van Patten. Heath is the owner of Next Home, Treasure Valley. Heath, tell us a little bit about Next Home.
Thank you very much. Next Home is a fantastic company. It's a franchise based out of California. Started January 1st of 2015. We have 200 plus locations in 42 states, I think. And we're a local franchise here. So we have the exclusivity to the Boise area. And we are just a real estate brokerage helping clients buy and sell real estate. And from that, we have many tools and services at our disposal as agents to help the process.
Next Home, Treasure Valley, how long have you been in business?
We've been in business technically since going back January 1st of 2016 is when Next Home Treasure Valley was actually launched here in the Valley. And then I took ownership of it about a year ago.
And you got 10 agents.
Correct.
That's pretty awesome. That seems like a lot of growth to me in a short time. Does it feel like it to you?
It's been great. Yeah, great people. I'm really excited to work with them alongside them and help them be successful as well.
So what do you think sets your company apart from other real estate firms?
Personalization and technology. We have lots of value. So when you come to Next Home as an agent, you're going to have many products and services at your disposal to really connect and get out there and help people. Our technology is second to none. Our marketing is amazing. It really saves a lot of time for agents, I have found. You are just, obviously, when you save time, you save money, right? Time is money. So that's a really, really powerful thing to help out with everybody.
So in your business model, are the agents, I mean, they basically work for themselves. Is that true?
That is correct. Yes, they are independent contractors, yes.
And your job is to provide them support. What kind of support do you provide?
We have lots of support. Coming down from our franchise, we have lots of videos and training programs and manuals and things like that they do. We have constant webinars weekly. So we have lots of things from kind of the parent company, if you will. And then here on the local level, myself as well as Jessica or Skinner, our broker, the two of us obviously coach all of our agents as well and guide them and brainstorm with them and create a game plan for them and things like that and just help out. For example, I have an agent that just went to California for a family vacation, and he's got a contract, right? So I'm meeting with his client to make sure we get the interest money in and to make sure we help him be successful and get everything we need to do. Our culture is just really focused on family, and we really want to help each other and obviously help the community from that as well.
So give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out and contact you.
My phone number is 208-284-5081. My email address is Heath, spelled H-E-A-T-H. So it's heath@nexthometreasurevalley.com.
We'll be back with more of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. And welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm the president and CEO of Sandler Training here in Idaho, Jim Stevens. Each week we bring to you knowledge and information about communication, about management, things revolving around the success triangle in Sandler, which is your attitude, your behavior, and your technique. We have an upcoming event called No Guts, No Gain. Justin, share with the listeners the dates that event is. It's a one-day boot camp.
So this one-day event is going to be on Wednesday, July 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Cost is just a little under $400?
$395.
$395 to attend this event. And in this event, you're going to be challenged to know yourself better. One of the things we cover is understanding your rights. I think too often if I'm in a room full of people, in fact, see if those of you listening can fill in the blank, the customer is always right. See, we're programmed to believe that, but is it really true? Oftentimes, customers want something that is not in their best interest.
And they don't know what they really want.
Right. They may need help buying. They need help better understanding what they need, but they may not be clear about what they want. Yet, if you put yourself in a subservient role to a customer, you will not be the trusted advisor who helps them make those decisions that are in their best interest. So understanding your rights as a person, your rights as a business owner, salesperson, you have intrinsic value. You have the right to see yourself as an equal to anyone else at the planet. And I think you have a responsibility to see yourself as an equal to everyone else on the planet. Just because you have more prestige, more money, a better position, a better house, a better fill in the blank, doesn't make you a better person. We are all equal when it comes to our value.
Completely agree. And it's funny you bring that up. Some of the happiest people I know are happy with what they have. They're not always thinking about what don't I have,
right,
or what am I missing, or what do I need to do so I can have more. I think that's the definition of being happy, is learning to be content where you are and understanding that life works out just the way it's supposed to.
And also balancing that with our responsibility to make sure we are personally growing and developing. We're achieving a higher level of personal achievement, but we're not addicted to achievement. So there's two things that I think can drive you to be your own worst enemy. One is need for approval. If you base your value on what other people think of you, you're going to always be pleasing others in order to find your value. And if you define your value by achievement, you're going to always be trying to achieve more to prove that you have worth. And recognizing your intrinsic worth apart from anything you do is really the essence of self-confidence. I become self-confident. I am self-confident when I separate my identity, who I am as the inside me, from my role, the outside me. And we call that barrier the emotional firewall. So explain that theory, Justin.
So the emotional firewall, it comes into play whenever, so let's pretend you're performing on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 10. You're killing it at your job. So in this role, if you don't have an emotional firewall, that will get into your identity, yourself. So it affects you. You start to feel, oh, I'm a rock star.
I'm great. I'm bulletproof.
Look how good I'm doing. Look at me close all these deals. Now, if you naturally see yourself as a 10, whether or not you're winning, that's perfect. That's how it should be. Now, let's pretend on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 2. So you're not performing well. You've just lost the biggest deal of the company. You've been chasing this for 10 months, and here it is. It's out the window. Your role feels like a 2. If you don't have an emotional firewall, then what happens is that 2 drags down how you see yourself.
You're going to take it very personally, and that personal feeling is going to take a hit on your self-value, your self-esteem.
Exactly. And that when something like this happens, if you don't have that personal firewall, that emotional firewall in place, this is when you go home and you take it out on the kids and you take it out on your significant other. And everything in your life is affected by your failure in this one area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you focus on building up this emotional firewall, separating your identity, who you are, from your role, what you do, when you have that failure, and you will, because in order to be successful, you've got to fail.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that failure, it's not going to affect how you see yourself as a person. It's not going to affect how you treat the other people around you. Even the person involved in the deal, it's not going to affect how you treat them, because you realize this is a business opportunity. It's nothing personal. They're doing what they think is in their best interest, and I need to do what I think's in my best interest.
And I can have that healthy attitude as long as I do anchor my belief in who I am apart from my performance. I was raised that failure was not an option. And the older I get, the more I realize what a fallacy that is. Failure is the only way we learn. The only true failure is if you fail to get up. You stop trying. Now that is failure, and that's not an option. But failing in a role, failing in a task, doing something poorly, and then figuring out how to do it better, that's life. Take any endeavor that you're currently uncomfortable with. The reason you're uncomfortable with it is because you're no good at it. The reason you're no good at it is because you're not done it very much. So practice doing it over and over again, working on technique, reinforcement. That's what's going to get you success. Learning through failure is very healthy, but we have to be willing to embrace failure. So an important part of having no guts, no gain is learning through failure. And there's several components that make up failure. Number one is I got to know how to analyze risk. I'm going to have to be able to make a decision, weigh in the risk, and be a worst case player in order to take those risks that are responsible. So share a little bit about that worst case scenario.
So if you think about worst case scenario, and I'd say the biggest lesson, so you told a little bit about your story opening Sandler in 1999. First time I went through Sandler training was that summer in 1999.
Yeah.
And so I was a warm body. I was here role playing and learning with 13 years old, learning with all these other business owners and successful people that I was way out of my element, but I learned a ton. And the biggest lesson I learned that year comes straight from the no guts, no gain stuff, is what's the worst that can happen? When you're 13 and you think about talking to someone you don't know and you think about making new friends, I mean, if you stop and think about it, the worst that can happen is not really that bad.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you create these stories in your head. And I was very imaginative. There were some awful stories that played out before I'd even open my mouth. And then I started realizing I'm holding myself back.
Right.
And that's when I learned that what's the worst that can happen is never that bad. And so that's one thing we're going to be talking about, is how do you analyze and look at what is the worst possible scenario?
Which ties back into drama triangle. Oftentimes our brain will amplify the worst case to far worse than it ever actually could be. And so getting a real true bearing, it's funny that year prior to taking Sandler, Justin was a very quiet and withdrawn kid. And that summer, I remember Jack Matunas, Dr. Matunas, who was Justin's orthodontist and a client of ours in our remodeling company. Jack said to me, "So what is Justin doing? He's totally changed this summer. You're taking him through some course. Tell me about that." So even his orthodontist could hear the difference.
It's amazing how if you get out of your own way, the success you can have.
And so part of getting out of your own way is recognizing the limitations that you put on yourself. So we're going to be covering some of the building blocks to success and some of the roadblocks to success. Because frankly, back to identity and role, the only way I'm going to manage my internal self-image is through what I believe about me. We call it affirmations. And I've heard somebody said once, that affirmation stuff, that's just too hokey and too corny. I've seen Saturday Night Live, their spoof on affirmations, and they just think it's a point of derision. Well, you're currently engaging in affirmations. They may be negative. When you drive and you get lost, what's the first thing your brain says?
And I would say, before you get too far into it, they are negative.
Yeah, right.
We all tell ourselves lies. Nobody tells themselves the lie they should tell themselves, which is, I can do this. I'm amazing.
Right.
Watch me change the world. We all tell ourselves, oh, you look fat. Oh, you're such a failure. You'll never do this.
That was the dumbest thing. Why in the world did you do that? Oh, people are going to laugh at you. All of these negative lies are building up in our brain, and it's the white noise around which we build our lives. Well, why not be proactive and change the noise, change the programming? So building that emotional firewall is having an affirmation that says, I am a winner. I learn through failure.
I'm great at failure.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So for me, that identity role journey is really a spiritual journey. It's about identifying who I am spiritually apart from my physical flesh and apart from what I do. So getting to that point, crucial in personal development. No Guts, No Gain. It's coming up, Justin, on Wednesday.
Wednesday, July 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. here at our office, or you can attend online. You can reach us for more information at 208-429-9275 or visit us online at www.crossroads.sandler.com.
Next up, we have Behind the Business, followed by Entrepreneur Radio. Each of these programs, we get to hear from regional and local business owners, managers, leaders who are making a change in our economy. We will learn through some of their challenges, and we get to hear their story. If you'd like more information, you can reach me at crossroads.sandler.com. Send us an email to crossroads@sandler.com. We'll be back just after this.
Everything you teach is centered around not doing what the customer expects, that dance that you do back and forth that I was stuck doing and didn't like my job when I was having to do that. And it changed my actual job description and the way that I interact with clients so much so that now I feel very proud of what I do, and I love going to work, and I don't feel like I'm getting caught in that dance anymore. I'm able to actually talk to people, and they forget I'm a salesperson because of these techniques. They end up selling it themselves, and I feel like I'm not even selling.
Welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local and regional businesses. This segment, we get to learn from other people's experiences and get a sense of how they run their business. My guest today is Heath Van Patten. Heath is the new owner of Next Home Treasure Valley.
Next Home. Yeah, when you think about buying a home, think about your next home.
Right. Very clever. So let's shift gears, Heath. You introduced us to your company. A big part of owner's job is to find more team members. So what are you looking for in an agent?
The real estate agents I'm looking for are those that believe in the Next Home brand. They understand what we have to offer, and they can really put their name behind it.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that, then, and they do all the things that we have and use the products and all the services and stuff, they will be successful. Obviously, somebody that's driven, coachable, wants to be around people, obviously kind of that hardworking individual that wants to succeed. This business is really hard. It's extremely hard, lots of competition, and I'm looking for somebody that just wants to get out there and really challenge themselves and find a way to really persevere through all the competition, because obviously there's a lot of it.
A lot of competition. So are you mostly recruiting people who have never sold real estate, or are you looking for people who are already in the business?
No, I'm looking for both. Again, just good people, right? Just anybody out there that really wants to believe in Next Home, believe in what we have going on, and really focus on overall growing and being a part of it. So obviously, I think for brand new agents, I think we're a great source, because we have all the tools and services at the disposal to be successful. But any current agent out there, I think that they could definitely come on board and use all those services as well.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that a lot of times people look at the commission structure, and that's what kind of makes their decision. But you also, in business, you have to look at the expenses as well. I think our expenses are much less than others if you're on your own. I think somebody that I was talking to, they pay like $1,700 a month for all the different tools and services and products we use. And you can get as little as $200 for all that stuff. So,
so
it's a huge
difference.
Savings.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really just depends on their philosophy and their game plan and what they're looking for.
So where do you see your company in 2 or 3 years?
2 or 3 years, I think we're going to be in a couple dozen agents, maybe more than that. I don't know. I don't really have a cap or anything like that. I would like to have a couple locations, satellite locations throughout the city, kind of grow and just be, you know, having fun and serving the community.
Awesome. And does your franchise rights include just the Valley or?
Yeah, the Treasure Valley area.
Awesome. Well, Heath, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
My personal contact information is heath@nexthometreasurevalley.com. My phone number, cell phone number is 208-284-50.
Next up, we have Entrepreneur Radio, where we get to hear firsthand how local and regional entrepreneurs and business owners create success and endure the challenges inherent in building a company. If you or your business would be interested in being on that program, please reach out to me at 208-429-9275. We'll invite you into our studio located here at our office and help you get your story out. We'll be back with the Entrepreneur segment just after this.
Sandler Training can show you how and why salespeople fail. Learn more more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to one of my favorite segments of the program, Entrepreneur Radio. In this segment, we get to learn more about the real heroes of our economy and society, independent business owners, managers, and leaders. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training, and we've invited Jonathan Cardello to be with us today. Jonathan's the owner and founder of Ventiv. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jim.
So tell us a little bit about your business. What got you started? What do you do?
Well, you know, what got me started, I think, Jim, was a dot-com boom back in 99, believe it or not. I'd just come out of school. And I knew I wanted to be in the internet, and that's what I've done my whole life.
You know, that was my dream, because the thing about the dot-com is you really didn't have direct clients. Oh, what an ideal business. You hug a computer all day.
Right.
How did you turn that into money?
Well, actually, I came out of school and I moved to Park City, Utah, where I started a digital marketing agency right on Main Street. And it was a time when the town was sort of booming, tourism and real estate, getting ready for the Olympics. And so we started out helping, you know, real estate agents and small businesses make their first move into the internet with web pages, websites. It was pretty exciting.
You were a pioneer.
We were learning.
Wow,
you know,
awesome.
I don't know if we could say pioneer, but we learned quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the year 2000, and we had produced websites for companies like the Canyons, an American ski company, when they launched their ski resort there, and Franklin Covey, the DuPont Registry, a few other Prudential Utah Real Estate. We launched that company, or at least helped the entrepreneurs behind it, and to launch their company. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience, and we got to work with a lot of great companies, and it was really bringing them online. You know, it was online reservations, online tickets and lift tickets and ski lessons, and it was the first time these companies were doing this sort of interaction with customers.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to get that firsthand experience.
So was it the creative side that drew you to it?
It was the intersection of marketing and technology that drew me to it. And it was definitely the creative side and what you could do with technology. And we rapidly progressed from building web pages to applications and software for companies. And by 2001, we decided that it was time to pivot. And instead of being an agency after operating 2 years successfully like this, we were going to incubate and launch our own .com.
Oh, really?
And so we reinvented this business and relaunched it on September 10th, 2001 as Ski West. And it was going to, you know, and part of this was to make it easier and more fun to book ski vacations online. And it was also to, you know, the Olympics were coming to Park City, and we wanted to create a great experience for the world when they came to book in Park City as well. And it just naturally spread into all the different ski towns. And before you knew it, in a few years, we were the leading ski tour operator in the country in terms of bookings and volume that we were doing across the Western Rockies.
That's awesome. And then did you eventually sell that business?
We did. You know, we sold it to Overstock.com in 2005. By then, it had well over 100 employees and significant revenues, about $30 million in bookings per year at that point. And it was a very successful business. It was doubling year over year. And we had bootstrapped it. It was just me and some friends from college.
Wow.
So it was a dream. And so we had no investors to answer to. And we had gone to seek private equity, and which was strange at the time, being a Utah company and going to Silicon Valley primarily, as well as Manhattan, and pitching these big investors. But it turned out that Overstock.com, right in Salt Lake City under our noses, was really the best fit for us. And so we were able to quickly get a deal done with the CEO there, and it became Overstock Travel.
Wow. Now, how old were you at the time?
That's a good question. I think I was about 27 years old at the time.
Have you written a book?
I haven't written a book.
You should.
But
that's a great success story.
Thank you. But I have to say one thing. It was a little bit of a shock after the whole thing was done, you know, becoming an employee and that sort of a thing. I kind of, you know, I felt out of place for a little while.
Was there a contract you had to stay for a certain amount of time?
I had to stay for 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I completed my year and decided to stay for a second.
Wow.
And somewhere around the middle of my second year, you know, the boss came to me and said that, you know, they needed some cash and they wanted me to take the company back to market and actually, you know, sell
it. Some investors?
No,
or
sell
them
it.
Sell
and
it.
Because at the time they had come under some financial pressures. This was back at an interesting time for the company.
Wow.
So we were able to get that done, believe it or not. It took about 6 months.
You built the business, you sold it, you were retained, and then you sold it again.
Yes. And the crazy thing is I was counting the days until my 1 year contract was up. And when it was up, I just couldn't leave the company where it was.
Yeah.
We had to restructure it and pretty much and bring it to market for sale all at the same, not quite at the same time, but in the same year.
That's awesome.
And it was a challenge, but we got it done, found a new home for it, and exited right, you know, called it a day.
So then what got you into Boise? How'd you get up here? And tell us about Ventiv.
Well, I moved to San Francisco first. And spent some time out there. So that was 2007. So I moved to San Fran and really dug in and got in the online real estate space, doing a big data play, rating and ranking real estate agents, which was fun work, to say the least. And, you know, after being there for quite some time and having about four children, I had decided that the Bay Area just, I'd want it out.
Yeah, a great place to raise kids.
It was, yeah, it's a great place to be single, but it's a tough place to juggle kids. It really is. And, you know, so we identified Boise. It's just a wonderful place, a wonderful opportunity for us. And we decided to start over, and we came out here. And we'd started Ventive a couple of months before, but by the time we moved out here, it was in full swing. But we really had built the company here, right in downtown Boise.
And so what does Ventive do? Tell us about Ventive.
So Ventive is a technology agency. It helps companies, small and large and medium, sized, to basically leverage technology to gain a competitive advantage in the marketplace, solve business problems, to take advantage of opportunities.
So give us an example of some of the problems you solve.
Well, you know, I am under a lot of confidentiality agreements, so I have to be careful about what I say, but, you know, referring to some public examples. We have a great team of entrepreneurs that come to mind immediately here in Boise, and they saw an opportunity, you know, as a dentist, Dr. Mike Dolby, hope he doesn't mind me using his name, he saw an amazing opportunity in the marketplace where dentists have run their practices the same way for the last 20 years,
right,
roughly, in terms of technology. You know, they have a computer, and they have their office manager, and they have that one terminal or a few computers where they're running a classic EMR system, basically, to log procedures and to track appointments to do billing, but that once the dentist left his office, he really had no insight into what was going on. But not only that, you know, the modern design and modern business theory around dashboarding and analytics and business intelligence really wasn't there for a dentist. So what was going on in his practice at any moment in terms of whether he was operating efficiently and whether all of his staff are really executing as a team and meeting the sort of goals that he should be setting, a lot of times that wasn't happening because there was just a real gap in the marketplace and what was available to help the dentist do that sort of work. And a dentist is really busy, too, taking care of patients.
Right.
They don't teach you this stuff in dental school, is what he found.
Right.
So he was able to have, he came up with an idea for an app called Practice in Your Pocket. He named it.
Mm-hmm.
And this app basically hooks into that dentist's old school EMR system.
Mm-hmm.
That's an electronic medical record system, of course,
for all of us
out there. And it grabs the data, it ships it to the cloud, and gives the dentist mobile, you know, insights into his business. Able to dashboard, able to see if all the appointments showed up today, and if all the hygienists did their jobs the way they should have, and if he's overpaying for supplies, and if he's hitting his revenue and his profitability goals. And it's able to conduct meetings and manage his staff more effectively, and to do things like make sure his patients, when he leaves the office on the way home, he can check in with his patients that he really, you know, worked on that day.
Yeah. How you doing?
Are you feeling okay? How's the pain? And the system tells him who to call and what to say. And it makes it so easy that within 10 or 15 minutes, you know, he's kind of gone through that role and he knows that there's a lot of value in that for a dentist. And so that's one example of some of the problems that we solved. And that's all mobile based. But the real problem was that the data was all locked up in the dentist's office on a system that didn't allow this. And so how do you hook in, grab that, get it to the cloud, and then feed it to the dentist in an intelligent way?
Right.
And so he's able to use his experience running his own firm, as well as being a practice management consultant in the dental industry, and he's also a published author, he was able to share that vision with us, and we were able to work together to turn that into a digital product.
So you really fill the role of a business consultant who then uses...
That's true, but that's really the tip of the iceberg of what we do. We design and develop that product to bring it to market with that entrepreneur. Oh. And other times, we're working with a large public company to solve, in some ways, you know, more abstract problems.
Mm-hmm. So it's all writing software you do?
A lot of times it is custom software. Sometimes, though, it's finding open source stacks and solutions that are already out there and configuring them, you know, around this particular client's needs. So it's not necessarily writing it from scratch always.
And how many employees do you have?
You know, we've got about 15 here in Boise growing, but we have another about 50 contractors full-time and part-time distributed
around the world
that are all specialists. Part of our philosophy is that, you know, you need a generalist who's like what I call an executive engineer or a managing engineer.
Right.
You need a user experience designer to lead your projects, but you also need specialists in particular technologies that you're utilizing. And sometimes just making the right decision on which technologies to use at this point and which extensions, which modules, which components, which libraries can have a massive impact on your speed to market, your efficiency. So making those decisions is important, but then actually having the experts in those technologies to carry out the very detailed work while still having, you know, business strategists, digital strategists, and people who understand just software development, good design,
good user experience.
Pull it all together on a unified team. Believe it or not, it makes sense, common sense, but not many companies are doing it that way, primarily because it's too expensive. You know, a team like that will run you well into the seven figures, and so a small business can't afford that. What they do is they compromise, say, I hired a programmer. And we love programmers. We can't, you know, the world wouldn't run without them, but programmers alone don't deliver great software.
So a company's able to hire you instead of a full staff, and you can take it on a project basis.
On a project basis, and sometimes on an ongoing basis, but it's, you know, you get the whole team on demand, so for what you might pay for a half of a person or a person, you get the expertise of eight or nine people all working together just in time, just when you need them.
My guest today is Jonathan Cardella. Jonathan, give your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out and contact you.
Okay, well, my direct line's 415. Sorry, couldn't drop the Bay Area. area code, but 415-306-3252, and my email's John, J-O-N, at GetVentive. That's GetVentive as in inventive without the I-N, .com, and you can check us out online at GetVentive.com. We'd love to hear from you.
On Entrepreneur Radio, we share the stories of local and regional leaders and individuals who have driven change to see how they've achieved success. If you'd like to be on the program, please reach out to me at 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads@sandler.com. If you don't feel qualified to share your story and want help getting to the point where you are qualified, we can help. Give us a call. We'll return with Behind the Business just after this. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. Change is difficult and messy. As a result, most people push themselves to work harder because they don't realize there's an alternative. Sheer willpower and determination can only go so far in making a significant impact. Charisma or optimism alone is not enough to capture your ideal client at a price point that allows you to grow your business. Loyalty to employees and clients sustains a devoted following, but will not attract the talent or clients needed to help more people benefit from your services. Accurate systems and processes are vital. However, this alone is not going to achieve your desired results. Most business owners don't have the courage necessary to challenge their comfort zone. If you are the exception and are ready to roll up your sleeves, get messy and change, call me at Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or connect on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Welcome back to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local and regional businesses. My guest today is Heath Van Patten. Heath is the owner of Next Home, Treasure Valley. He's a real estate business owner. And Heath, you told us about your company. You told us about your recruiting. Tell me, what does a realtor really do?
Every transaction typically has 6% fee, right? Yeah. 3% goes to the buyer's agent, 3% goes to the seller's agent. Great question. We'll start on the buy side. So we have buyers. Obviously, there's first of all, we're working for free because we're trying to find the buyer and do all that. So all of our marketing and stuff, whether we're doing driving around town or sending mailers out or whatever it is, that's an expense, right? Yeah. And time. And obviously when you get the buyer, then you have to do all the homework. You have to sit down and you have to really dig deep and find exactly the home they're looking for. So do all the research on the MLS, drive around and preview the homes and things like that. Then you create the buyer tour, if you will, and then put them in your car and just drive them around, right? Yeah. I guess just there's so much to do with just going into the car, right? So then we find a house and we put an offer in. Then we have to do the offer and then, you know, make sure that the comps are correct and then make sure we do inspections and all the other stuff, communicate with all the different title and communicate with all the mortgage companies. And that's just one deal. That's just one individual.
One,
and then so if you have multiple buyers, then that makes it crazy. And that's not even the seller side as well. That's just the buyer side.
I have a friend who's in the real estate business, goes to our church, and she said she's having to do three times the work for the same amount of money because they'll find a buyer, find a house, and there'll be three or four offers and backup offers. And people are offering more than the asking price. You go through all that work only to find out you didn't get the home. Now you got to start over and find another one.
Yep. Just had that experience 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, no fun.
That's got to be heartbreaking.
It is difficult. But, you know, it's part of the business. It's what we signed up for.
So on the selling side, what's the responsibility of an agent in helping someone sell their home?
Again, that kind of gets into exactly what's going on with the actual home, making sure we get pictures all organized, making sure we have all the documents all signed, making sure that everything that's on those documents is accurate, check a tax record, and then it's a matter of doing all the comps to make sure that the asking price is correct. From that, we have to promote it. Marketing, open houses,
driving around. So you don't just put it on MLS? And some, hope
some do. Some do. I don't.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a matter of getting out there and trying to push it. Negotiations happen after that. So when an offer comes in, we got to submit that to our clients and negotiate that back and forth. And of course, when that is like finally executed, then it's just a matter of doing all the other paperwork, whether it's addendums or any kind of counteroffers.
We'll give your contact information, Heath, in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Next Home Treasure Valley is our website, nexthometreasurevalley.com. We have a recruitment website, join nexthometreasurevalley.com. And then we have my email is heath@nexthometreasurevalley.com. And then my phone number is 208-284-5081.
This has been Behind the Business. If you'd like to share a snapshot of your business to the public, please reach out to me at 208-429-9275 or email us crossroads@sandler.com. Join us next for the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm Jim Stevens, the local president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho. Each week we bring to you information about how to improve your attitude, behavior, and techniques to build for yourself a better life. My guest today is Justin Stevens. We've been talking about an upcoming event we have called No Guts, No Gain. And this is a one-day workshop that's going to help you recognize how to leverage failures into successes and how to be assertive. It's really about assertiveness training. Now, there's a difference between being aggressive and being assertive. Justin, what's being aggressive?
So being aggressive, in my personal opinion, is when you are very directive. You need to do this, taking it to the hyperbole. It's pushing your opinion, your feelings onto someone else. Being assertive, on the other hand, is when you have your own opinions, you have your own thoughts and ideas, but you don't push them on someone else. Instead, you ask questions to uncover if it's a fit to share those or not.
It's about having strong convictions without being manipulative and controlling of others. So learning to be assertive, many people are not assertive because they don't feel like their opinion matters. Maybe you were raised in an environment where assertiveness was not valued, but you cannot get along in life today without being assertive. I think you need to be able to stand up for what's right, ethically, morally. You need to be able to hold your ground without being domineering, without being condescending, but being strong enough to say no when no is in your best interest. Too often, people who are people pleasers will commit and literally overcommit to other people when it's not in their best interest. They can't legitimately fulfill the expectation they have of themselves, yet they weren't assertive enough to say, you know what, I don't have time, and so I won't do it justice, so I'm going to have to pass. So talk to us a little bit about that assertiveness that allows you to put boundaries in place.
You know, another great point to go along with what you were just saying is, you know, it's not in the person who's asking you to do something for you to say yes if you don't have time, because a lot of times it doesn't get done. And then the person who asked you is frustrated. I told you to do X by Y and it's not done. What gives? And in all reality, what's been happening is they have been overcommitting so much that they can't get everything done. And when they do get things done, it's halfway.
Or too late,
or not very good. So all of these different issues arise by being too
agreeable.
Nice, agreeable, and not wanting to rock the boat. In reality, a truly assertive person who's really nice and agreeable, the best response when you get asked, hey, can you do XYZ, is to say, you know, Jim, I'd be so happy to do this. So here, before I say yes, let me show you. I'm working on this. Which is most important? What of those should I put off to do what you're asking me to do? Put the ball back in their court. Let them decide. Well, you know, all those are really important. I guess I can
right.
go get the mail
right.
or whatever it happens to be. But if you become that assertive person, that person who is still helpful. They're still there whenever they're needed, but they don't just say yes because that's what they think they should. Mm-hmm. They ask questions and give whoever is asking them for help the opportunity to engage in what is the biggest priority so that they're staying on task with the right things instead of the urgent things.
And oftentimes that, we call it the nice guy model or the nice gal model. You want to please other people to the point that you actually create the drama that you don't even want to participate in. Right? I'm such a people pleaser that I'm not standing up for what I know to be right. And so when we talk about the drama triangle, just as a refresher, if you weren't here in the first part of the show, the three players in drama is the victim. It's not my fault. They're hopeless, hapless. There's the persecutor, the person who is forcing accountability in a negative, critical way. And then there is the rescuer, the person who enables this whole game to keep playing. And we look to change these roles up. So the victim needs to become a creator. So the victim is helpless unless the coach, the rescuer who becomes the coach, says, let's think about this. Is there a different way you could approach this? And helping coach that victim to create a new reality. And then the persecutor becomes a challenger. We change these roles in our mind. I mentioned earlier that drama exists to avoid accountability. TED, the empowerment dynamic, is really about recognizing who is the creator, who is the challenger, and who is the coach. And can I shift those positions so that I'm creating a more healthy outcome?
And when it comes to that empowerment dynamic, that challenger, the creator, and the coach. When it comes to those three roles, the creator is in charge of doing and developing everything. It is not the challenger or the coach's job to create anything. The challenger, it's their job to ask questions that uncover pain. It uncovers the compelling reason to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coach, it's their job to ask questions to help the creator uncover how should we fix it.
Yes. And getting these three positions in sync and functioning second nature, very important part of helping create a drama-free work environment. So we've got this event coming up. It's a one-day boot camp called No Guts, No Gain. We're going to be talking about the building blocks of success, some of the roadblocks to success, and some of the key points necessary for you to have the future that you want. So I want to spend the last couple of minutes just talking about goal setting. So in this process, one of the tools we provide our clients is a forum for goal setting, and I really like the format that we have in No Guts, No Gain, because it asks you to paint a picture. Imagine yourself 10 years from now and just journal, describe a day, an ideal day in your life 10 years from now. And if you can imagine it in your mind's eye, you put into motion the psychological and spiritual energy necessary to create that outcome. So share a little bit about the power of goal setting, Justin.
Goal setting is key to anyone's success for a couple reasons. And you can be successful without it.
Many people are.
But if you set goals, what you're doing is you're telling your subconscious, this is where I want to be. Have you ever decided to go for a walk with no direction on where you want to go? Where do you end up going? Who knows, right? You just walked.
Yeah.
You just went walking. And it's always really fun. But you never know where you're going. Now, have you ever gone on a walk with a destination, with a purpose?
Mm-hmm.
The difference is how you feel. It's, I know I'm getting there. It's, here's every step's bringing me closer. That's why it's so important to set goals, is because if you know what you're shooting for, if you know where you're shooting for, it becomes much easier to figure out, am I getting there? Am I walking in the right direction? You might not be.
One of our Sandler rules is you're either a part of your plan or you're part of somebody else's plan. So if you haven't taken time, look at life as a blank canvas. You're the artist. You get to put whatever on that canvas you want. And we are proactive in developing the lives that we want when we take time to premeditate what it is we want to accomplish and then allow the power of our creative minds to help bring that to pass. There is so much untapped, latent energy in the human soul that I think we underestimate. And when you're able to tap into that energy, it can help create for you the future you want. So No Guts, No Gain. Justin, share the dates and times.
So again, No Guts, No Gain is Wednesday, July 12th. So that is this Wednesday, by the way, everybody. Wednesday, July 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. It will be here at our office in Meridian, or we'll have a number of folks joining remotely from their office. So you're welcome to do either. If you have questions or would like to talk more about what's happening during that time, call us at 208-429-9275. 208-429-9275, or you can find us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com.
This has been the Sandler Training Hour. I'm Jim Stevens, the CEO of Sandler Training here in Idaho. Our calling is to wake people up from the slumber of mediocrity. Challenges like living with good enough, trapped in a comfort zone, ignoring eroding market share, accepting chaos and volatility in your business and customer relationships, and learning the hard way through trial and error, hoping that eventually you're going to get it figured out. If you are ready to give up the insanity of doing the same thing, expecting different results, call me, 208-429-9275, and we'll schedule a time for you to come in, visit, tell us a little bit about the challenges, and discover if you're ready for the hard work that it takes to get out of your comfort zone and create the life that you want. Remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. Change is difficult and messy. As a result, most people push themselves to work harder because they don't realize there's an alternative. Sheer willpower and determination can only go so far in making a significant impact. Charisma or optimism alone is not enough to capture your ideal client at a price point that allows you to grow your business. Loyalty to employees and clients sustains a devoted following, but will not attract the talent or clients needed to help more people benefit from your services. Accurate systems and processes are vital. However, this alone is not going to achieve your desired results. Most business owners don't have the courage necessary to challenge their comfort zone. If you are the exception and are ready to roll up your sleeves, get messy and change, call me at Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, or connect on the web at crossroads.sandler.com.